ओम ज्ञानतिमिरन्धस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनशलाकाय चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः। नमो विष्णुपदाय कृष्णप्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्तस्वामिनिति नामिने। नमस्ते सरस्वतीदेवे गौरवाणि प्रचारिणे निर्विशेषशून्यवादि पश्चात्यादेशतारिणे पञ्चकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिन्धुभ्यः च पतितानां पवनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासदि गौर भक्तवृन्द। हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। अजानुलम्बित भुजौघ्नकावदात संकीर्तनायकपितरोकमवायताक्ष विश्वम्बरो द्विजवरोगदारो पाव वन्दे जगत्प्रिय करो करुणावतारो यन्दः प्रविश्य मम वाचि मां प्रसुप्तं सञ्जीवयातखिल शक्तिधरक्स्वधाम्नान्यांश्च हस्तचरणश्रवणात्वगादिं प्रणं नमो भगवते पुरुषमेतुभ्यम्। हरे कृष्ण। आई एम वेरी ऑनर्ड बाय द प्रेजेंस ऑफ ऑल ऑफ यू, स्पेशली बाली महाराज, दयानंद महाराज एंड अदर्स सीनियर डिवोटीज। कपल ऑफ डेज बैक आई गेव this presentation about the purification of the heart, as a prime duty of a leader. And I will repeat it today for those of you who are not there, in case you are interested. It was somewhat spontaneous, just a few thoughts about this important topic, and I require your blessings to be able to say something worthwhile, please. As I said, it will be just a few points. They are, of course, somewhat coherent and connected with each other, but nevertheless, I was giving yesterday and some other day the presentation about the culture of empowerment. What is the culture of empowerment constitutes of? And I'm trying to make a point there that the culture of empowerment is not just delegation. Sometimes we think that empower people means to delegate some responsibilities which we have naturally. But the notion or the concept of empowerment is much broader than just delegation. You know, oftentimes I see that leaders are very eager to delegate their responsibilities. They are ready to delegate their responsibilities, but the complaint which I always hear in these cases is that nobody is ready to take the responsibilities. All these people are solely responsible, you know, they are not ready to take responsibilities. They are not taking responsibilities. I am ready to give some part of my duties to somebody, but nobody wants, nobody is eager, nobody is around. And there is always, it's more or less like a constant refrain of a leader, you know, nobody wants to take responsibility. There is no people who are ready to do this. And my little presentation yesterday was about this, and this is also somewhat connected with this whole notion of this understanding of empowerment. That to successfully empower people, and that's the main point which I'm trying to make, you have to have some qualities within yourself. And the prime and most important quality is the purity of the heart. I was trying to speak about this during Bhagavatam class, and this is some related topic also. The first point which I wanted to make is that any organization to function properly, as Prabhupada explains in Bhagavad Gita, needs buildings, needs manpower, resources, capital. But I want to ask you, what is the real capital in our organization? Of course, Prabhupada definitely means it literally. Capital means capital. Capital means money. Capital means, some physical, so to speak, resources which help us function in this world. But if we take this notion of capital in a little figurative way, we will understand that the capital is something which provides particular organization to function. And I would ask you this question: what is the real capital in our organization? And if we have this capital, we are capable of functioning in this world, and we are capable of spreading the mission of Krishna consciousness. So what is the capital? Huh? Devotees? Huh? Any other idea? Willingness what?
To learn.
To learn, okay. What else? Yes. Loyalty of the members. Good. Yes. Faith. Faith. You said faith. Yeah. This is the, yes.
Purity.
Yeah. Basically, the answer I was looking for is this, faith. And of course, the other answers are correct. You know, if people have faith, they have enthusiasm. If they have enthusiasm, you know, they're there, they're staying there, therefore devotees are there. If people have faith, they're loyal to the organization, they are working very actively, and so on and so forth. So I would introduce first this particular notion that the main capital which we have, the main thing which gives us ability to function in this world is faith. And if devotees have faith, if people have faith, if we are capable of creating faith in the hearts of devotees, then everything is there. The success will be coming. There is no doubt about it. So this notion of Shraddha, or faith, is very important. And my next question would be, you know, if a leader in any organization, having some position in the organization, is not careful about wasting the money or the main capital of this organization, how he would be dealt with by the higher leadership? What would be the what should be the proper dealings with such a leader? You know, obviously, he should be punished. He should be, you know, like the other day I was giving this presentation, and one Mataji said, "Phew." Oh. So, basically, the first point which I wanted to make very clear is that the prime duty of a leader is to create faith in the subordinates, is to create faith in people, is to be able to create faith. And the purity of the heart is the prerequisite of this. If we don't have the purity of the heart, if we are somewhat insincere ourselves, then we will not be able to create faith, and we will not be able to inspire people, and nothing will work. And the contrary, if we destroy the faith of people, if we kill the enthusiasm, the spirit of enthusiasm in the people, which is again a result of our improper behavior and lack of purity, the ulterior motives within our heart and everything else. So on the contrary, if we destroy the face of people, we are basically destroying the capital of our organization. Where instead of increasing our organization, strengthening our organization, we are weakening our organization. So that's the first idea or the first understanding. So actually the successes of a leader should be measured to the proportion of how he is able or capable of creating or at least maintaining the faith in the leaders. And therefore, not in the leaders, of devotees, and for that he needs to have some minimal purity of the heart. You know, he may not be completely pure, but at least some minimum purity should be there to maintain the faith in devotees, to maintain the faith in people. So this is one thing which I wanted to make from the beginning, why it is the prime duty to have the pure heart. Because, this is what leaders in any organization are supposed to do. They have to increase the capital. So the next point which I wanted to make, again, in relation to this previous point, is that I already said that the notion of empowerment, in my humble opinion, is much more powerful, is much broader than the notion of just mere delegation. The empowerment means basically to give power to the people to act, to give them power to act properly within the framework of Krishna conscious society, to provide them with this power. And the people, they have this power to act properly, basically when we are talking about empowerment of other people, we are talking about giving them qualification, right? You know, to be able to function, to be able to do something within Krishna consciousness movement, people need qualification. And what is the main and basically the only qualification which somebody requires to be a devotee? What is the qualification? What is the adhikar to practice bhakti? Faith, yeah, right, we know. Shraddha means adhikar. Shraddha is not a part of bhakti. It's interesting that Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, he stresses this point, and also Bhaktivinoda Thakur, in a number of occasions, he says that Shraddha as such is not a process of bhakti. The process of bhakti is Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, Padasevanam, Archanam, Vandanam, Dasyam, Sakyam, Atmani, Vedanam. Faith is not there. Faith is the prerequisite. It's outside of the realm of practice of bhakti, but it's a very necessary and a very important prerequisite to practice bhakti. Without faith, you cannot practice bhakti. And therefore, again, to empower people to practice bhakti, you have to be able to at least maintain or better to create the faith. And together with the notion of empowerment comes the notion of disempowerment, which I wanted to again say that this is a little new point. Disempowerment means that we deprive people of power to act properly, deprive people of power to act as devotees. And we as the leaders have plenty of opportunities to deprive people to act as devotees. We have a special privilege to to really destroy the faith in the people. You know, not only, as I said, you may be okay as a leader if you are not increasing the capital of the organization, at least you should maintain it, but you should not destroy the capital of the organization. And what I want to say is that we may disempower people not just by not delegating them certain responsibilities which we have. We can greatly disempower people around us by showing wrong example. You know, you don't have to do anything basically to disempower people around you. You just have to be not a proper example. And people will feel total, complete emptiness in the heart. They will feel that something is lacking in their life. They will feel lack of enthusiasm just by seeing at you as a leader. So again, this concept of empowerment and disempowerment, I think, is very important for any leader to understand that, you know, to empower people, it's not a specific process, so to speak. Of course, if you delegate, there is a specific process which you should follow. It's a systematic process. It's being taught in the management seminars. But, you know, if you don't behave yourself properly, the result will be disempowerment of people, even if they are not directly dependent on you. Just by the mere fact that you are a leader in a religious organization and you are not, you know, meeting the highest possible standard of this particular religious organization on the principles which is being spread by this religious organization, you will have this effect of disempowering people. We know this in our rich and very eventful history, you know, because sometimes people, they think, you know, that it's to inspire other people, you have to really give the pep talks and you have to really, you know, yell in a high pitch, you know, just surrender, you know, distribute books, haribol, ja. But, you know, there, I think it's St. Franciscus, he said that everyone has to preach and sometimes he can even talk. Meaning that if you want to preach, sometimes you can talk, you know, to preach. But the main point in preaching is not to talk. The main point in preaching is to behave. And by not behaving yourself properly, we will disempower people or we will deprive them of the faith. And then next point, which again is connected to this, or the next thing which I wanted to introduce or explain to you how I see it. And please bear with me, it's my understanding, and if you find it helpful, I've never seen the description which I will make anywhere in the scriptures as such. Although, I mean, there is some confirmation to this. And it's related to the topic which was there before. So, what I will explain now, the gradual process of purification of the heart. Srila Prabhupada makes a very strong and interesting point in a couple of purports in Bhagavad Gita. In a number of purports, he stresses the point of seeing the ultimate goal as the prerequisite of gradual process. Like in the purport of Tesham Satata Yuktanam Bhajatam Priti Purvakam Dadani Buddhi Yogam Tam Vyanam Amupayantite, he makes a very interesting point. He says the ultimate goal is Krishna. And if you see this ultimate goal is very clearly, then you will be able to achieve it for sure, 100%, through the series of gradual steps, progressive gradual steps. In other words, Prabhupada, he makes, in another purport, in Bhagavad Gita, in 266, I believe, he makes the point that if you don't see, if you're not connected with the ultimate goal, if somehow or other the ultimate goal is missed, then you will have disturbance within your mind, you will not be able to be steady, and so on and so forth. So, Prabhupada, he stresses this point that you need to see the ultimate goal, but besides seeing the ultimate goal, which is very, very important, you have also to know, and if you see the ultimate goal very clearly, you will be able to see the path which leads to this ultimate goal. You will see the gradual steps which you will have to make to reach this ultimate goal, and ultimately you will achieve this ultimate goal or the highest goal. So the next point which I want to make, and to try to think a little bit about and to elaborate a little bit about together with you, is that to be very clear about the goal. To be very enthusiastic about achieving the goal, you definitely need to see the intermediate goals. When the goal is too high, and we all know the goal is Krishna, right? And it's inspiring to a certain extent, and we know the goal is love of God. But what I want to introduce now, that when the goal is too high, sometimes we may feel a little discouraged. Either because it's too high and may seem to be unachievable. You know, sometimes when we hear this, you have to chant 24 hours a day. Who is really being inspired by this statement that you have to chant 24 hours a day? Or sometimes when we hear the descriptions of Lord Chaitanya when he was, manifesting the symptoms of love of God, sometimes he cannot help but think, do I really need it? I mean, I'm really sorry being such a heretic here, but what I want to say is that when we hear, that there was a foam in the mouth of Lord Chaitanya, and he was just foaming in his mouth, and he was saying jaga jaga, and he was choking, It's a little difficult to relate to it in our present condition. It may not be exactly relevant to our day-to-day life. If we come to our wife and say, "My dear wife, from tomorrow on I will be foaming in the mouth," and chanting 24 hours a day, it may be relevant to you, it definitely will not be so relevant to your wife. That may be another impediment on your progressive path towards Krishna. So, what I want to say that it's to achieve this, and Prabhupada stresses this in this purport, that ultimate goal, you have to be very clear about the ultimate goal, no doubt about it. But if you see the ultimate goal, you will also see intermediate goals. You will also see the goals which you will have to achieve gradually, and by going step by step, achieve the ultimate goal. So, what I want to explain to you now is a very important thing. How to see these goals and how to go step by step from goal to goal. We all know the essence of the scriptures as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained them. He said that the essence of all scriptures is divided into three categories. What are these three categories? Sambandha, Abhideya, and Prayojan.
Do you happen to be
What is prayojana?
Goal. Goal.
That's why we're talking about this. Prayojana is the goal. You know, and basically prayojana, the very word prayojana means something with which you want to be associated with. Prayojana, something with which you want, with which you are connected. You're achieving something. Therefore this verbal root, huge, is there. Prayojana, you know, prayojana. What I would like to introduce now is a slightly different understanding than these three terms. We will keep prayojana as a goal as such, and I want to ask you what would be the alternative Sanskrit word for abhideya. Abhideya is a process, right? How we usually call abhideya? Sadhana, yes, sadhana. And sadhana, we know, Bhanu Maharaj will tell us that sadhana, as opposed to sadhya, is the systematic process to achieve sadhya, the goal. Sadhana means something which you do to achieve the goal. So let's, for a moment, you know, let's, for our discussion, to change abhideya into sadhana. and prayojana is the goal. Okay. So I want to change this word also, but before changing this word into something else, I want to ask you, let's try it. What would be the alternative for sambandha? What would be the alternative of sambandha? Knowledge. Yeah, it's definitely knowledge. It's sambandha gyan. Sambandha gyan. You get some knowledge, and by getting some knowledge, you are basically getting desire to achieve the goal. There are, in Nyaya it is explained that there are two ways to achieve desires. There are desires of two kinds. First kind of desire, you already experience something, and because you experience something, you created some scar in your mind. Because you have some scar in your mind, you want to repeat the same experience if this experience is pleasurable. So this is one way of developing desires. Desires are based on our own experience. But there is another way of achieving, of having desires. And this is very widely used in the advertisement industry. What is the other way to plant the desire within the heart of a people? Yeah, basically to give them some knowledge. You know, this is what you need. You don't have, you know, you have a stupid washing machine. And, you know, you have no idea what this washing machine is all about, what it is, but you see that some people are happy by using this washing machine. And they say, you know, this is Samsung washing machine or whatever. And then you say, yo, yeah, I need Samsung washing machine. You don't have any experience, but you get some knowledge about this. And therefore, sambandha gyan is there, you know, we get the knowledge. How we get the desire to achieve Krishna? We don't have the experience of Krishna, right? Does anyone, of course, you know, I don't have. Does anyone of you has, you know, but we get the knowledge, and by getting the knowledge, you know, how nice it is that there is a nice weather in the spiritual world, and nice prasadam. and not much hassle and not much things like this. So you get some, this is some bandha. But what I want to introduce is slightly different concept here, the concept of adhikar or qualification. Adhikar or qualification instead of sambandha, for our discussion will give little more clear understanding what I want to say. Adhikar or qualification, sambandha means to do, right? Sadhana means to do, right? Prayojana means to get, right? Prayojana, what you want to get. Sadhana means what you want to do. What is adhikara? To be, okay? You are in a certain level of existence, you are on a certain level of spiritual development, you are on a certain level of understanding, and this is this constitutes your adhikar or your qualification. And then when you have this adhikar or qualification, you will do something, and you get some extra knowledge. By this extra knowledge, you develop desire to get something. And when you develop desire to get something, you also get the knowledge of what you should do. Therefore, sometimes it is said also sambandha jnana bideya jnana, what prayojana jnana, what is the goal of your endeavors, what is the goal of what you are supposed to do. So if we take, this is the next point, if we take a long path to an ultimate goal, and you coming to some intermediate goal, and there are few of these intermediate goals which you want to come to, then if you are in this point, in the point A, then the point B towards the point A will be what? Will be in this scheme. Will be prayojana, right? It's a prayojana. This is your intermediate goal. But when you and this is your adhikar. On the point A is adhikar, B is your prayojana. And this stage, again, I'm explaining the gradual progression. So, but if you achieve the point B, and you want to go to the point C, so what the point B will become? Adhikar. And point C, your prayojana. And when you achieve point C, then point C becomes your adhikar, and point D becomes your prayojana or goal. So what I want to explain here, so that we know, the gradual progression means you change your adhikar by having the intermediate goals. You are going step by step, and I already said before that to be very clear about the ultimate goal, we have to have certain adhikar. We may have some understanding of the ultimate goal, of the highest possible goal, but to be really enthused by the highest possible goal, we need to have certain adhikar. Therefore, I said that point of having totally, completely overwhelming love of God may not be relevant to us, not because it's not a relevant goal, but because we don't have the proper adhikar for it. We are not yet ready to really have this goal as a goal as such. And therefore, it's very important to know how it goes. You know, you achieve a goal and this goal becomes your adhikar. You achieve the new goal and this goal becomes your new adhikar. And in this way, you are progressively following the path. So the next point which I want to say to you, or to describe, about the purification of the heart. Because again, the purification of the heart is the topic of our seminar. So, and again, this is a little, I'm on a little shaky ground, so please forgive me if you find this somewhat questionable, but still, I would say that it makes sense. At least it makes sense for me, and I wanted to share it with you. As I said, the general adhikar or general qualification for bhakti is what? Faith, shraddha. But as I also said, that if we take this ladder of bhakti, the ladder of devotional service, which is described in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu by Srila Rupa Goswami, then basically each step in this ladder can become the adhikar. It becomes the adhikar for the next step, right? Mm-hmm. You know, in the beginning we have shraddha. Then the next point is what? Sadhu Sangha. And I would say that, you know, and of course, in the beginning, our adhikar is shraddha. But the most important adhikar which we have as devotees is sadhu sangha. Prabhupada said this on a number of occasions. Sometimes devotees would ask them, quoting this famous verse from the third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam by Devahuti, you know, what is our qualification, Srila Prabhupada? Because Devahuti says that Yajjihva Grey, from the tip of your tongue, the holy name is dancing. It means that you already passed all the Vedic yagyas and all the things like this, you know. And devotees, they wanted to hear from Srila Prabhupada some confirmation, you know. Yeah, you already passed through it. You already beyond it. And Prabhupada said, you have zero qualification. Zero qualification. I am your qualification. Prabhupada said that because you are associating with me, you have some qualification. So what I want to say now, that actually to we need shraddha in the very beginning, but then the next most important qualification which all of us have is the society of devotees, is ISKCON. Srila Prabhupada used to say that if somebody thinks that he can progress on the path of bhakti outside of the society of devotees, he's a lunatic. He's insane. You know, and he specifically says you have to be in the association of devotees to progress. And if you are on this stage, let's say we get some faith, by having some faith, we associating with devotees, and we see some nice devotees who have some purity of the heart, then what would be our goal? What is the goal which is relevant from the very beginning? What I would suggest here, and this is important for, I would suggest that the goal which is relevant from the very beginning is the purification of the heart. And this is exactly what Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur says in Jaiva Dharma. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur says in Jaiva Dharma that in the beginning, when you chant the holy name, your goal, which is not compromising with the purity of chanting, But still, the goal of purification of the heart may seem somewhat material. You know, you just purify your heart. It's not that high goal, that so much high spiritual goal. But Bhaktivinoda Thakur specifically says that in the beginning, when you chant the holy name, then the goal, which is not compromising with the purity of chanting, but still achievable and relevant, is the purification of the heart. So what I want to introduce now, that in my humble opinion, we can consider this ladder of bhakti in a certain way. If our qualification or adhikar is sadhu sangha, and if our prayojana, and this is adhikar, and if our prayojana is anartha nivritti, or purification from anarthas in the heart, then our sadhana will be what? Bhajana kriya. And we know bhajana kriya means sadhana. But bhajana kriya in the association of devotees, in the society of devotees, when together with the devotees we chant and hear and think and worship the deities together with the devotees, in a proper framework, you know. So what I want to say is that in the very beginning, this anartha nivritti. Is the proper goal. When we get this understanding, then this is something which we can relate to very easily. We can understand that if my heart is little more pure from this anarthas, from kama, krodha, loba, mada, matsarya, moha, you know, I will become little more happier. The problem with this anartha nivritti, why it is such a difficult process and why it is such a painful process sometimes, is that all the anarthas which we have, and please raise your hands who have some anarthas still in the heart. Yeah, I think it's unanimous. So the problem of the anarthas is that we subconsciously think that they are not anarthas, that they are actually arthas, that they are something valuable, you know, because they give us some advantage, you know. What is anartha? Anartha is nothing but a device to adjust to the atmosphere of this world. To exist in this world, you need some anarthas. Without anarthas, it's very difficult to exist, even in ISKCON. You know, yeah. If you don't have, you know, how you will survive if you don't have any pride or any, you know, and people, you know, to get some little extra lust, they pay a lot of money, you know, because this is something which is very valuable. You know, it's a normal thing. You know, all what we think as an artist is for normal people is artha. You know, you tell people right there on the street that you have, you know, to get Krishna, you have to get rid of lust. You know, and they will just spit on you. You tell them that they don't need anger. You know, who doesn't need anger? Everyone needs anger in this world. You know, like, what I mean to say is that subconsciously we hold through this anarthas. We don't want to leave them. Like this famous story about Ashtavakra Muni, who was showing this, you know, he was holding the column and saying, "Leave me, leave me, leave me, leave me." And he said, "You're crazy, you know." He said, "No, I'm not crazy, you're crazy." Then there is a beautiful story. We sometimes may not understand that we are holding this anarthas very tightly. That in our subconsciousness we really value them and we think that this is something which we need. So there is a beautiful story which I first heard from Ravindra Swarup Prabhu. He quoted Saint Augustine. In his confession, Saint Augustine says, "When I was a young boy, I was very sincerely praying to the Lord, oh, my dear Lord, please, please, please help me take my lust away." And then very hastily I would say, "But not now." You know, take it away, but little later. So we may not be on the level, even of this level of introspection, to understand that I don't need this, but at least theoretically we understand, even from the beginning, that we need to purify the heart. And basically the first part of our presentation was about this, that at least theoretically we have to understand, I have to have clean heart. If I want to lead others, I have to purify my heart. And we have to know very well the process. The process is to do sadhana in the association of devotees, not alone. Not to be isolated somewhere. And that's exactly what Anuttam Prabhu was saying. Anuttam Prabhu was saying the other day on the plenary in his presentation, then if there is some sign of isolation, it basically shows that something is wrong, that somebody doesn't really want to purify the heart. So one of the conditions of purification of the heart is that you value the association of devotees. You are with the devotees, you are serving the devotees, and you sincerely want to purify the heart. And this is the, as Prabhupada used to say, automatic process. If you are in the association of devotees, the heart will be purified, 100%. There is no doubt about it. But then, as I said, anartha nivritti is not the ultimate goal. Anartha nivritti is the intermediate goal, important intermediate goal, which we will have to place ourselves. And then, as I said, that when we achieve the intermediate goal, when we achieve the anartha nivritti, then anartha nivritti will become what? Adhikar. And then when we achieved, when the heart is somewhat purified from the grossest kinds of offenses or anarthas, not offenses, offenses is the last thing which leaves the heart, but from some gross anarthas which are there, gross material desire, then what will be our next intermediate goal? Ruchi. To confirm this, it's interesting because we know that Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Prabhupada was very emphatic about this anartha nivritti. He was not going higher. He was very conservative as far as this highest realms of devotion are concerned. And he was always stressing this point, anartha nivritti, anartha nivritti, anartha nivritti. You know, there is a famous lecture which people who have somewhat sahajic tendencies, and we know that he is Rupanuga Virudhapa Siddhanta Dvanta Harine, the one who destroyed the darkness of this Rupanuga Virudha Apasiddhanta. So the people, even among his followers, the people who have little sahajic tendencies, they want to, they like to quote very much one of his lectures which he gave on Radhakund. He said, "Okay, fine, for 20 years we have been trying to achieve anartha nivritti. Now is the time to achieve artha pravritti." In other words, to pravritti, artha pravritti, now it's the point to talk about something higher. Something higher means here taste. you know, anartha nivriti. So that's exactly what he says. He says, first you achieve anartha nivriti, then you put the next goal, and the next goal will become ruchi or taste, spiritual taste. This is artha pravriti. You know, in the beginning, it is very important to talk a lot and to give a lot of stress to this negative thing, purification of the heart, understanding what anarthas are, what is there, what is happening within our heart, introspection, this and that. But then, you know, when you achieve, when your heart is somewhat purified, and this is the position of the leader, then your next goal will become, which is relevant in this case, you know. Because if in the beginning you start talking about the spiritual taste, I've seen how it sometimes, you know, I've seen some people are talking about spiritual taste. There is some artificiality in it. So, but I want to ask you, what will be the sadhana for this anartha nivriti if the goal is ruchi? Huh? Nishta, yes. You can ask me how nishta, which is stability or stable faith, can become sadhana. In my humble opinion, it's very simple. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he explains that what is nishta. Nishta means trinada piso nichinata rora pisa hishnu na amani na manada na kirtaniya sadahari. And all these things, humility, tolerance, passions, respect, and the absence of desire to be respected by others, can become sadhana. What I want to say is that, you know, in the beginning stages, our clear goal, relevant goal, is anartha nivriti. When we achieve this goal, then our goal, or our process, our goal is ruchi, our process is humility. What I want to say here also, and I think this is somewhat important, we like to stress the humility from the very beginning. Kirtaniya Sadahari, we say about this, you know, but what I want to say also is that in the very beginning, the humility cannot be practiced properly. Because even to practice humility, to have humility as a sadhana, you need to have some adhikar, some qualification. You know, in the beginning, when we try to practice humility, when some people, I've seen, you know, if you tell something really strongly, you know, be humble, be humble, be humble, you know, for 15 minutes after the lectures, people may become really humble, you know, and how they become humble, they just look in a very strange way, you know, I'm very humble, you know. What I want to say is that in the beginning, we don't have adhikar to practice humility. And Prabhupada was very much aware about it. Sometimes Prabhupada, not sometimes, many times, I would say most of the times, Prabhupada would encourage not really humility, but something opposite to the humility. He would say, just do it. You know, he would encourage something which may seem to be as an ambition, and it was an ambition. Why Prabhupada was doing it? Because he knew that if you tell them from the very beginning, be humble. You know, if from the very beginning you tell somebody who is little ambitious to become humble, what he will do? Zero. And ultimately he will be frustrated. So what I want to say is that, you know, this progression of the purification of the heart in the beginning, you may sometime encourage people to do something in the society of devotees, together with other devotees, so that some growth gross dirt within the heart would be cleansed through this process. You, from the very beginning, you don't encourage, and I think, and I see it, especially in the, you know, when you counsel some devotees or whatever, sometimes it's necessary to stress not humility. We have to stress humility all the time, that's true. But sometimes, you know, it's also necessary to stress some other things. Basically, what I want to say is that in the beginning, we have to stress that you have to remain in the society of devotees. You have to be part of a group, bhakti vriksha, or counseling system, or whatever. This is, and within this framework, you do chant and speak and hear about Krishna. And this is the stress in the beginning. But then, you know, at one point, when somebody is somewhat purified, then definitely there should be stress. Trinada pisu nishina tarora pisa hishnu na amani na manade na kirtani asadahari. And my next point, which I wanted to make, and then, you know, you will be able to do it. You will be able to really practice it because you have the adhikar. Anartha nivriti is adhikar. So what I would say that anartha nivriti is the adhikar for a leader. To be a leader, and I proved it, I tried to prove it before in the beginning when I said, if you want to be a leader, anartha nivriti is the adhikar. You basically have to pass this stage. You have to have this adhikar already, you know, to function as a leader. Otherwise, you will be dysfunctional. Your leading ability will be greatly, you will be disabled, or you will be greatly disempowered, or whatever, to act as a leader if you are not. So, as a leader, this is the process. As a leader, you have to have some purity of the heart. You have to practice humility as your sadhana, as your daily sadhana. You know, bow down, you know, really, you have to practice patience or tolerance as a sadhana, you know. And as a leader, you have plenty of opportunities to practice tolerance. You know, it's a very advantageous position to be a leader because people will always criticize you. It's a very nice thing, you know. And, you know, you have to practice respect. This is the practice. This is the daily practice of the leader. It's a sadhana of a leader. Trinada pisu nichina tarora pisa hishnu na amani na manani na kirtaniya sadahari. And then you will achieve taste. And then next, after the taste, there will be ruchi. And then bhava will be the real goal. And then asakti will be your practice. And then, you know, good luck. You are there. No problem. You are, you know, from there, it's a very smooth path. These things are a little more difficult, especially in the beginning. Just one more little thing which I wanted to say. What we are supposed to do if we are not on this level? Like after the class which I gave today, Bhagavatam class, some devotees came to me and said, who will want to become a leader after such a class? who will step into these muddy waters and, you know, to take these grave responsibilities, this and that, you know. So please understand me right. First of all, I don't want to discourage you by saying all these things. I don't want to discourage you from being a leader. Just because of the mere fact that, simple fact that every one of us is already a leader and we can't avoid it. We already leader. Being in this world, we are leader for somebody, you know. It may be leader for our little family or little this group, little bhakti vriksha or whatever. We will always be. So we can't avoid responsibility. And moreover, if we avoid this responsibility of taking this, we are effectively slowing down our progress. To take more and more responsibility is the sure way to achieve the goal and to become really empowered by the service. So we have to take responsibility. We shouldn't be afraid. So, but my question to you, which I wanted to deal very shortly because my time is over, you know, what do we do if we are not yet on the stage of anartha nivritti? If the gross anarthas are still there, but we're still playing the role of a leader? As I said, it's an adhikar to be a leader. That's the only adhikar. The practice is to be humble. And we have seen in our society, we have seen leaders who perhaps were powerful leaders, but perhaps were not completely free from some gross anarthas. You know, and therefore they were not practicing exactly the humility. They were rather on this stage, and because of the isolation which unfortunately was there, they didn't purify the heart through this process, because they have chosen to be somewhat isolated on this first stages of development, and not really properly practice bhajana kriya in the association of devotees. So my understanding is that even if we are in such a position, even if we are already playing a role of a leader without being sufficiently qualified, then still there is something very important which we can do. And still fit to this position and be ultimately achieve the success. What it's I don't have unfortunately time to say too much about this, but what I want to say is the point which is there in Bhajan Rahasya of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, in his Dvitiya Sadhana, or second sadhana, which is basically the elaboration of Bhaktivinoda Thakur meditation on the second verse of Shakshashtakam. Nam namakari bahudani jasarva shakti statrapita niyamita smaranena kal durdaiva medrisha meha janina nuraga. So he's speaking about this anartha nivritti stage. He's talking about how to get rid of anarthas, and he is quoting so many different verses from the scriptures to elaborate this point. What does it mean to purify the heart? What one should do to achieve this purity of the heart? What is there? What is the process? And I noticed an interesting thing while thinking about this, because it's somewhat mysterious book. Bhajan Rahasya is not an easy book, you know. It's not just easy reading, you know, some entertainment. It's a very deep... Bhaktivinoda Thakur is revealing his heart. So in this chapter of Bhajan Rahasya, he quotes two verses from Manak Shiksha of Srila Raghunath Das Goswami. Only two verses. In Manak Shiksha of Srila Raghunath Das Goswami, there are five verses progressively describing different anarthas, starting from all impediments. Starting with the external impediments, the impediments, which is there, Sadvarta Vyashi, Visrija, Matisarvasva Haranih, just give up all this idle talks and everything. The next thing is that internal impediments like lust and greed, and which is there within the heart, and he says this is like dacoits which are pulling you down into this well of material existence. There is five verses which describe progressive stages of purifying from anarthas. Bhaktivinoda Thakur speaks about two only of them. Out of five, he only mentions two in a reverse order. He mentions only sixth and seventh verse of Manak Shiksha. And first he mentions 6 verses. And that's about it. He basically doesn't speak much about other anarthas, but he mentions first the 7th verse, and this 7th verse says that what is this? Pratishtasya drishta svapachara mani mehridina tet. In my heart there is this obnoxious lady, Ramani. Ramani means prostitute. And she's drishta, she's really obnoxious. She's shameless. Pratishtasya drishta svapachara mani, and she's dog eating lady. Nice, very attractive svapachara mani. What is this lady? And she's dancing within my heart in a very, you know, in a very seductive way. What is this lady who is dancing in my heart? Pratishta asha, the desire for fame, name, glory, respect. He said, katham sadhu prema sprishati suchiratan nanumanaha. How the very pure sadhu prema, the very pure prema will touch my heart. Suchiratan nanumanaha. If the heart is so contaminated, if this lady is just, you know, doing her boogie woogie or whatever it is, you know, Bharatnatyam. If she's doing this Bharatnatyam within my heart. So he says, katam sadhu premas prishati suchiritanna numanaha, on my mind. But then he says, he gives the solution for this. And we know this is the last anartha, the last thing which leaves the heart. The desire for prestige, the desire for honor, desire for respect. It's a very difficult thing, you know. Sanatana Goswami in Hari Bhakti Vilas says it's everything else may leave your heart, but this desire for prestige will still be there. Pratishta asha, very ardent desire. And Raghunath Das Goswami gives a very... And then he says this lady has a lover, boyfriend. And this boyfriend, you know, and they're together in the heart. She's not alone. She's never alone. She has some very passionate lover. And this lover is kapata kutinati, deceitfulness, hypocrisy within our heart. When we pretend being something which we're not simple, this and that. Basically, you know, and he says, Sadatvam Sivasva Prabhudayata Samanta Matulam. If you want to get rid of this lady, Yatatvam Nishkashyatvaritam Ihatam Veshayati Saha. If you want to really kick her out, get rid of her, Yatatvam Nishkashyatvaritam Nishkashya, drive her away, then there is one thing which we have to do. Sada, always. Tvam sevasva prabudayeta samanta matulam. Please always serve sadatvam sevasva. Sadatvam, you, O mind. Sadatvam sevasva prabudayeta samanta matulam. Please serve to those devotees who are very dear to Prabhu, to Lord Krishna. Prabudayeta samanta matulam. Those people who are impeccably pure within the heart. If you want to basically get rid of all the anarthas, if you want to achieve this stage, then there is a solution. Serve, in our case, serve Srila Prabhupada, serve his pure followers, serve this glorious mission. And how to serve this? Sada, always. Always serve this glorious mission. Sadatam tvam sevasva prabodayata samanta matulam. And yadhatam nishkasya tvaritam. This lady will be very quickly driven away with all other anarthas, and ihatam vesayati saha, the pure love of God will enter in your heart and will leave your heart, will be in the throne of your heart. So that's the advice. We, as a leader, we have to, yes, I'm finishing, we have to serve always. in this capacity, not because we want respect, not because we want to achieve something, but why do we do this? Why are we leaders? Because this is the opportunity to serve. We want to serve, we are serving this, and then this goal of anartha nivritti and the higher goal, intermediate goal, will be achieved. So just being very much established in this position of a servant of Srila Prabhupada and his society, we can achieve this goal by performing this very important service of being a leader in this society. Thank you very much. We don't have time, so... Srila Prabhupada ki.